Thank you very much to Rabbi Glatt for agreeing to be part of our program. You know, now just a couple of words, just to gonna embarrass you for a moment. That you know, they say that Echamay of Esrim, you go up to Shemayim, the last, you know, they'll say, you know, everyone's gonna make excuses for why they didn't learn. This one will say, I was too poor. This one is, it was too rich. This one will say, I was too busy. So I'm glad you mechayev all the doctors. So, you know, all of us, we didn't have time to learn. Well, some. Well, what happened? Right? Yeah. So I said, right, I still remember a number of years ago, someone handed me your book on time management. I was too busy to read it. It sat in my credenza. Sat in my credenza for like a month. I don't know where you find the time to do everything. Baruch Hashem, thank you. It's an honor to have you in our community and to be a role model for all of us, especially during the time during COVID. You know, when you put yourself out there, was not always popular, not always easy, and took a lot of bullets for the team, but try to put that create a beacon of light in a lot of darkness, and thank you for all of that. Tonight's shiur is sponsored, again, by the Bennett family, in the memory of Dr. Alan Bennett, also followed by sponsored by Mark Berlin. Ray, where are you? Oh, there you are. Okay, it's in your, who's your yard sign?
My grandfather's.
Grandfather's?
Yard sign, and my mother.
Yeah. Neshama should have an aliyah. And finally, just as a matter of a commercial announcement of what's upcoming, probably the most likely next year we'll play takes after Pesach. I believe Dr. Shmuley Singel will be giving it. He wants to do it on halachas of medical malpractice. We'll see. Just some upcoming, over the summer, Dr. Howie Apfel is going to come and he will share for us as well. Topic yet to be announced. Okay, so thank you very much for coming. One last comment. So on the topic of tonight, so all of us are accustomed to getting these halacha books in the mail. You can't have this, you can't have this. I still remember one year I was looking up a particular medication just for fun. I was looking up medicine that I happened to take. And I said, turns out it's made by four manufacturers, two of which are chametz and two of which are not chametz. And I went at home and I said, I have the chametz ones. I said, do I have an obligation now to go to the drugstore and buy the non-chametz ones, which of course insurance will not pay for because they've already filled my prescription. So do I need to do this or not? So maybe we'll address that tonight. So without further ado, thank you very much.
So thank you very, very much for that kind and overly nice introduction. So I'd like to discuss some very, very important halachos in two groups. I want to first discuss the halachos that are probably much more common to come up, because when we talk about the medications, we'll see that that's actually not that common as shaila. But I'd like to talk about sick people in terms of their performance of mitzvos at the Seder. And we'll focus on that, but we'll spend about half the time on that and half the time discussing. So we'll spend half the time talking about very, very practical questions that you're going to get from a lot of your patients in terms of, what do I do? I'm diabetic. How do I drink the Dalet Kosos? I have a GI condition. How do I fulfill the mitzvah of matzah and things like that? And then we'll talk about general prescription, non-prescription medications, and I will try to give you a practical approach to this. Lav dafka, this is the only answer that is halach l'maisa, and you have, Baruch Hashem, your wonderful Mar D'Asra here. Wherever you daven, you have your Mar D'Asra can give you halach l'maisa. You're always welcome to call me up, and I'll give you my opinion as well. But you'll see that there are different opinions, and I'm going to go for the more cooler opinion. I'm going to go the more lenient opinion in terms of taking those medications. I want to start off with a famous Gemara. Those that do the Daf Yomi, they should be in your mind. It's from the last Masechta. So it's on Daf Nun Tes Omid Beis in the Dorim. And a famous Gemara, the Gemara tells us that there once was a matronisa. The word matron probably comes from the word matronisa. It means a woman, an important woman, a chashiva woman. So Amra, hayhi matronisa li Rabbi Yehuda. The Gersa that we have is Rabbi Yehuda. It's probably Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, who is one of the two Rabbi Yehudas throughout the Gemara that's referred to as a chassid. When it says chassid echad, it either always refers to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Baba or Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. So we're dealing with a person who is on an extremely high madrega. Besides the fact that he's a Tana, he's the one that's known as the chassid. Right? So we're dealing here with a great person. And this matronisa, usually a non-Jewish woman, said to him, I don't think that you're acting in a proper fashion. She calls him Mora. You are a Rebbe, right? The Ron over here says that he's a Baal Hora. That's what Mora means. He paskins for people. He's a big Talmud Chacham. And yet, Viravi, but you're drunk. She says you're a drunk. The Ron again brings down over here, you're Mishtaker. Now, why did she think that he was drunk? So the Ron says, Shemitoch Shirua saw Panav Tzuhuvim. He had a glow. Right? In this week's parsha, we had Moshe Rabbeinu had the famous misunderstanding by the Goyim of Jews have horns is based upon the Keren, the shining light that went from Moshe Rabbeinu. So she thought that he was drunk because he had a shine, right? He had a ruddy complexion. So she calls him Mora, you're a Baal Hora, and yet you're drunk. So he says, Chas v'shalom. Om Allah, he says to this woman, Hemnusa b'yada d'hayisa. I swear by your life, so to say. You're a great woman, and there's no way that I would lie to you. He says, I have never taken over here ita imna. I don't drink wine, almost period. And here's where we enter the Shia. I do drink wine, but only for religious purposes. When you take histories from patients, and you ask them the alcohol history, right? So if they say, no, I don't drink, well, what about Shabbos? What about Yontif? What about... So when I answer that question, when I go to a physician every 50 years, I have every 50-year exam. So when I go, it's been about 50 years. No, it actually hasn't. But so I always tell them, I only drink for religious purposes. I bedafka say that. So we all drink for religious purposes, and that's what Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi says. He says, I only drink wine, kiddush, kiddusha, vavdalta, havdala, and the arba kase de pischa, and the four cups of wine that were obligated be derabbanan to drink at the Seder. It's a mitzvah derabbanan, very important mitzvah derabbanan. You have to understand differences between daraisa and derabbanan. Matzah is daraisa. Arabicosis is the Rabbanim. There may be sometimes medical halachic differences between those two categories. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi says, I drink only Kiddush. And he says, I don't drink well. It takes a toll on me. The Gemara tells us, he says, when I drink these four kosos on Pesach, v'chugrani tzidoi, Ron and the Rush have the gear, so tzadoi, I get a severe headache that lasts from Pesach until Atzeres. Atzeres is Shavuos. It's nothing to do with Shmini Atzeres. Atzeres, we call it Shmini Atzeres because it's an add-on to Sukkah. So Shavuos is like an add-on to Pesach. Right? Some suggest that the Sfiras HaOmer is like the 7 weeks, is like the 7 days of Chol HaMoed. You know, there are a lot of interesting analogies between the idea of Atzeres Shavuos to Pesach and Shmini Atzeres to Sukkot. In any event, different shiur, another time. Bottom line is, he says, I have a severe headache. I have to bind my temples because of this severe headache that I have from drinking four glasses of wine on Pesach. I have a headache all the way till Shavuos, and yet I do it. So the obvious question is over here, is this Gemara halacha l'maisa? And how are we to learn this Gemara? Now, it's not the only place you have this Gemara. You have this Gemara in Shkolim as well. That's what I can't expect anybody from Daf Yomi to remember that. That's like a couple of years ago already. It's also in Brachas. There's a similar Gemara. So this is a very common thing. Interesting, the Gemara in Shkolim says that it is Rebbe Yonah, not Rebbe Yehuda. Some suggest two different stories, exactly the same thing. More likely, it's a misprint. One of them is a misprint, and some of the Mefarshim and the Yerushalmi bring down that that should have been Rabbi Yehuda as well, not Rabbi Yonah. Okay, same exact story. And question is this halacha l'maisa? What should we tell our patients when they go and ask us, you know, I get a headache when I drink? So the post can bring down from this, the Rashbah, for one, says that even though you don't like to drink, and you feel somewhat uncomfortable. We're not talking here about somebody who's pikuach nefesh. And I want to stress this. If I don't stress this enough tonight, I mean, it's critically important that you should have this up front in the beginning of this year. Anything with pikuach nefesh is docha all the halachas of Pesach. Is docha all the halachas of Shabbos, with except the three cardinal sins. Gila Reishim has done, and Avodah Zarah. So if somebody is in a life-threatening condition and they have to have, I don't know, you somehow paskin that they have to have a peanut butter sandwich on Pesach, so then it's a mitzvah to eat that peanut butter sandwich. Okay? That is clear and evident. Everybody in this room knows this, but you got to say it because sometimes people only hear the chumras and somebody only hears the, oh, well, you have to be careful. But you never have to be careful when you're dealing with the safek, pikuach, nefashos, except to be overzealous in caring for them. That goes with Hilchos Shabbos. You know, I'm not sure if we should call that tzolah. If you have the slightest doubt in your mind, every now and then when I go to get called in a case on Shabbos, so I tell them, don't call that tzolah yet. Let me see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I have a right. I'm a physician. I have a right to say that. But if you're a lay person, if you don't know what's going on, you call that tzolah immediately. And even I might think, well, I'm not sure this is really hatzolah worthy. So if there's any doubt, then you call hatzolah on Shabbos. You don't play games with sofek pikuach nefashos ala chaskam v'kama with vadei pikuach nefashos. That's I can't say this year without mentioning that over and over and over again. I don't want to just say that over and over again, so I was saying it up front right now in case I don't make it clear enough in any situation. If somebody needs a medication that is pure chametz, it is somehow it's bread, and they sprinkle the medication on the bread, and that's the only way this comes, so then you eat it on Pesach with the bracha. Right? They bring down that you should make a bracha. If you're required to eat treif, you make a bracha on it. It's a little bit controversial, but yeah. The concentration camps, if somebody had to eat treif, they made a bracha on it. So, just want to absolutely state that perfectly clearly up front. But the Rashba brings down that if you're going to get a little bit sick and uncomfortable from it, you see the Rav Yehuda, albeit he's a chassid, but the Gemara is telling us then this story, not because it's an interesting story, but because this is the halacha lemaisa, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. And in Shulchan Aruch, it is brought down that you have to have the Dalet Kosos on Pesach. But it only says Dalet Kosos. It doesn't say anything about Kiddush and Havdalah. Very interesting. But the Mishnah Berurah has a beautiful teretz. So obvious when you hear the teretz. The Mishnah Berurah suggests that the teretz is because you can be Yotzei Kiddush with somebody else. You can be Yotzei Havdalah with somebody else. So if I have a hard time drinking wine, so then guess what, Alice, my friend, my neighbor, my son, to make Havdalah or Kiddush for me, and I'll be Yotzei. That's perfectly acceptable. But the Dalet Kosos, while somebody can make the bracha for me, but everybody's obligated in the Dalet Kosos. So it's a nice idea to have the kosher bracha at Kiddush. You know, you should try to have a glass of wine for Kiddush, right? Even if somebody else is making the Kiddush, to have from the kosher bracha. It's a nice idea, but it's not a chiyuv, it's not an obligation. Most people don't drink the kosher Havdalah, only the guy making the Havdalah drinks the kosher Havdalah. We don't pass the Havdalah cup around. So little kids like to have, you know, from the Havdalah cup. But the adults that are there, they don't ask for, you know, there's nothing wrong if they do. Just have to remember, I always point out, people, I see this unfortunately many times, so somebody makes Kiddush for everybody else, they answer Amen, which is what they're supposed to do, and then they talk, and then they drink. So that you're not allowed to do. Then you have to make a new Bari Priya Gofen. So Yotzei in the Kiddush, but you have to make a Bari Priya Gofen if you want to drink. So when somebody's making Kiddush for everybody else, and they're passing the cup around, nobody's else allowed to talk if they want to drink from that, if they're pouring it off into other people. So just as an aside, nothing to do with medical halacha, that's real halacha, pure halacha, that you can't drink from that kos if you had any sort of a hefzik, an interruption. Interruption is when you talk. Any word, even one word, is usually considered a hefzik. You'd have to make another bar pir gofen. You don't have to throw Kiddush again. You would say Kiddush, but you have to make a bar pir gofen if you want to drink. If you don't want to drink, because okay. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah suggests, why it doesn't bring this din down that you have to have a headache. You know, if the wine makes you have a headache, so you still have to make Kiddush on wine. No. There are other reasons as well. Besides the fact that somebody else can make Kiddush for you, is because, guess what? You can make Kiddush on Friday night on Lecha Mishnah. You can make it on the Challah. Now, you can't do that on Shabbos. This is very interesting. You can't make Kiddush at lunch on the Challah. You can only make it on Friday night. And on Friday night, you can't use beer or liquor or Chamar Medina on Friday night. There you only have wine. And with wine, we'll talk about grape juice. I'll call that wine for now, but we'll see that there are differences. And Challah, that's Friday night. Shabbos lunch, Shalashuris, you make Kiddush. Mishnah Berurah says you should. Every single posting says you should make Kiddush at Shalashuris. I have no idea why the world is not medactic on that. It's just a Bar Pia Goffin. It's brought down. You're supposed to make Bar Pia Goffin at Shalashuris. You make it in the meal after you washed Alecha Mishnah. That's also brought down. I don't know why people, I don't like to wash. That's a very common mistake Jewish people have. Oh, I'm diabetic, I'm this and that. No, this is the time to break your diet. Don't break the diet on Saturday night when you go out for pizza. Break the diet to have Shalashuris. Unless you're Saturday night, it's Malava Malka. That's also had to go break your diet a little bit. We should only be breaking our diets from a medical perspective when it's doing a mitzvah. I can't imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu would hurt somebody. And again, if it's a real serious thing, fine. I'm talking about we all break our diets a little bit anyway, so you might as well break it for the mitzvah and not for the pleasure. So you should really make Shalosh Shudis on Lecha Mishnah, and you should really have a glass of wine. That's the din, and Havdalah. But there, by lunch, by Shalosh Shudis and Havdalah, you can use Chamar Medina, but you can't use Challah. So this is one of those quirks of Halacha, which you don't have time to go through and explain why now. That's the case, but you have alternative choices. Somebody else can make it for you, or you can use grape juice. So if alcohol is the problem, for all of those other situations, you can use grape juice, according to almost all the poskim, equally well. There still is a hiddur probably in using wine, but you can use grape juice. By the Seder, this is the one major exception to the rule. While you can be yotzei if you cannot take wine, by the Seder, we have a rule that you need cheirus as well, which is an additional component, and the cheirus is alcohol. To have that sensation of freedom, a little bit of alcohol is recommended, lichatchila, as a halacha. And therefore, at the Seder, if you can tolerate alcohol, you're not taking any medications that have an antabuse effect, you're not taking pills that are contraindicated, you're taking medications that are contraindicated to have with alcohol, you're an alcoholic. It's also contraindicated to have alcohol, right? The famous, everybody's heard the famous Rabbi Twersky, Dr. Rabbi Twersky, so sad to say Zatzal. So he was a major medical personality in addition to being a huge Talmud Chacham and Rav. So the bishop in, I guess it was in Pittsburgh, asked him, we have alcoholic priests, how do they do communion and drink the wine? He said, use grape juice. That's what we do. and that's Maisa Shahaya. And that's why the Pittsburgh Archdiocese uses grape juice for the alcoholic priests. But that's also a suggestion. If you have alcoholic patients and you're telling them, no, you can't have any wine. It's not safe to have any wine. Don't tell me it's safe to have Revius, because that Revius will lead to 5,000 other Reviuses that day or that week or that month. So if you really want somebody who has a problem with alcohol to be a total abstention, so then that person would be appropriate on the Seder night as well. Certainly for Kiddush and Abdullah, when you don't require the alcohol component. So there is an inyan to have alcohol at the Seder. Now, I just brought you down this story. So what can you do if you get severe headache? So it depends why you get the severe headache. Is it a component of the grape or is it the alcohol? If it's a component of the grape, then the suggestions I'm going to suggest right now won't do anything. But usually it's the alcohol that gives the people the bad headache. So what do you do? Dalet Kosos is a din derabanan, a important din derabanan that none of us should miss out on. So you have to know the shear, number one, right? If somebody is going to take an 8-ounce glass of wine and fill it up and have a rove of that glass each time, that's going to be close to 30 ounces if he has most of that 8 ounces four times. Well, 30 ounces may give you a headache, but, you know, 12 ounces may not. So if you take the shear of the kos to be the minimal shear rather than the maximal shear, or an average shear rather than the maximal shear, and then you just drink rove of that instead of going for the full revius each time, you can be fulfilling this mitzvah derabanan perfectly well, and you'll have less alcohol in total. And this works as well for your diabetics, where you really have a brittle diabetic, and the sugar content for four glasses of wine is maybe going to force them to, you know, have a problem if they're really brittle. So in that situation, you can decrease the amount that you have to take. So let's assume that the shear is, an average shear is probably 4.1 ounces. For the first kos, you should probably have that because that's also kiddush, so you should have that shear. For the other koses, you could probably go down to 2.8 ounces. If you could do, still do 4.1 and have a rove of that, so you're having 3.5 ounces, so then you yotzei the dalet kosos by having that. If you want to take the more maximal shear, which is probably around 5.1 ounces, so then if that will still fit in and not give you a headache that's disabling. Now, I would think Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi had a disabling headache, but he still was willing to do that. I'm not sure the halacha l'maisa, you have to be in such pain and agony that you can't do the rest of the Seder. If you're drinking that first cup of wine is going to make you not be able to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is Mitzvah Saseh Daraisa, you know, Yotzer Scharim Vav Seder, you're going to lose out. That's not a good idea. So therefore, the first suggestion is use less. Use know the shiurim and use the minimal amount of the shiur to be yotzei. The other thing is, it doesn't say anywhere that you have to have a really, really fancy bottle of wine that has 15% alcohol content. Me, I'm a connoisseur of wine. Rashi Light. There's nothing like Rashi Light. I can tell you the day of the week that it was made last month. Right? So that has an alcohol content of 5.5%. So if the alcohol is the problem, and you have four glasses at 5.5, or the kal, they have kal, which is, I think, 3.5%. So then you're having a lot less alcohol, and you yotzei the mitzvah with that wine like you would with other wines. Now, the purists will tell you they want to have a non-mavushal wine. But again, most people aren't mahadir for that, but gezun tate, if you want to, get a non-mavushal wine. Be very careful who's at your table. Certainly, it's never recommended if you're in a hotel to use a non-mavushal wine, because the non-religious, non-Jewish waiters are going to really make your wine a problem. But guess what? If you have a non-Shomer Shabbos guest at your table, you know, Uncle Bob is not Shomer Shabbos. He's a nice Jew. You invite him to your Seder, but he's not Shomer Shabbos, so he can't, pass the wine. Well, guess what? He just made your wine also into a problem. So you should never have non-mavushal wine anyway. So the hiddur of having non-mavushal wine could be a big chumrah that's a problem. So again, you don't have to have a fancy, fancy wine. There are some people that like to have wines that don't have added sugar to them. That's also a hiddur. But again, if you're diabetic, if your alcohol is a problem, if these are things, so then use the best medical advice you can give to the person, the lowest alcohol content, the lowest calorie wine, lowest sugar wine. There are differences between them. Usually you can find them online. They don't put them on the bottles. What they, you know, like, it's funny. I never understood why. Everything else has all the listing of the calories and ingredients on it, but wine doesn't. So I don't know why, but you can usually go online and figure that out and then prescribe for that person what's best for them. Again, if somebody has an arrhythmia and they have wine and that worsens the arrhythmia, that's a sofik pikuach nefasho situation, then they shouldn't have wine. So then they should have grape juice. Okay? So the order is preferably have the ideal would be to have the wine that's, you know, you want to be yotzei all the shitos, have 5.1 ounces of a non-pasteurized, non-sugar added wine, and that's the ideal. But that's not a medical halachashia, that's a halachashia. So for us, from the medical point of view, take the lowest alcohol content that they can tolerate if that's a problem, the lowest sugar content that they can tolerate if that's a problem. If it's not a problem, so then take whatever they like. It's more important that you have wine that you like rather than wine that fits these bid. You're supposed to have red wine, except if you like white wine better. Mm-hmm. So there are different halachas here that aren't medical halachas, but the bottom line is that a person should try to have the wine that will get him through the Seder, allow him to do all the other mitzvahs of the night. If it gives him a little bit of a headache, it gives him a little bit of a headache. That is the din. That's the halacha l'maisa. Okay. So, if you have to dilute it, surprisingly, the best thing to dilute it is to dilute it with grape juice. So if the alcohol content is even too much the way it is, but they can have a little bit of alcohol content. So you take the 3.5 and you half it by putting in grape juice. So have 1.75. And that they can tolerate. That doesn't give them a bad headache. Doesn't give him an arrhythmia. That doesn't, you know, push him over. Again, for the alcoholic, no. Eitz is grape juice. If somebody is really a problem, then give him only grape juice. Yeah.
Dr. Glatt, can I ask you a question? Does the halacha start at the age of
bar mitzvah? So I talk about that, yeah. So the question was, for those who couldn't hear it, what about at what age does it start? So I'll jump to it right now. So I don't think you should be giving young children alcohol. And I think it's perfectly fine, since it's chinuch, that they have grape juice. And since you could be yotzei with grape juice, I don't give kids alcohol. Now, they get a little bit older. You're talking about a 10, 11-year-old kid, and you want to give them a little kal, and give them a little bit of the kal, the 3.5% alcohol, and you pour in a little bit so they have wine into the 80% grape juice. So they're getting like 0.05 alcohol, you know, and the kid is happy. I had wine. So then you use your judgment. But I don't believe in giving kids wine of any significant nature. Okay? And halacha doesn't require them to. They can be yotze with grape juice. And I remember Rabbi Willard Shlita, when I asked him this question, when I had my little kids many, many years ago, so he said, give them grape juice. So after bar mitzvah, so then they should have a little bit. Again, use your judgment. Again, there's nothing wrong with giving them the kal wine and using the smaller shear and diluting it with grape juice. So we're not going to hopefully raise a bunch of alcoholics. But at the same time, I do think that there's nothing wrong with the kids are drinking anyway. I hate to tell you this. So you might as well teach them to drink responsibly and to drink what Kiddush is. You know, I made sure that my kids saw that I drink, but I only drink a Kiddush. They never saw me drink any other time. So teach them, this is the way responsible Yid works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us wine. There's a purpose for wine. It's not something that we should, oh, I never have wine. No, we have wine for religious purposes. So if you have to dilute, dilute with grape juice. If you can't dilute with grape juice for whatever the reason, so then you just have grape juice. If you have to dilute the grape juice, they're diabetic and they're really, really brittle, so then dilute that with water. You start running into problems when you dilute grape juice, though, because at some point it's no longer called grape juice. You have a little bit more leeway with wine. That gets very technical. So, again, you tell them to dilute it as little as you have to. And if you're really monitoring their diabetes that closely and they're testing themselves during the meal, so then they can adjust as needed whatever they may be taking. But you dilute it ideally with grape juice to wine. Then you can use always water in wine. You can use water in grape juice. If they can't take any grape product like that, so then raisin wine would probably be the next down, but usually if they can't take grapes, they can't have raisin wine either. But raisin wine is technically wine, although there are a lot of problems in making it that may not have it called wine. But raisin wine would be the next. And then if they absolutely can't have any anaphylactic reaction to any grape product, I've never seen that, but assuming somebody for whatever reason cannot have any grape product, so then you use Khamar Medina, which is the beverage of the nation. It's usually described as something that you give to somebody as a like a social, you know, somebody comes into your house, so you offer them this beverage, not because they're thirsty, but because it's polite to offer somebody a drink. Some say coffee would fit that pattern. You know, you go to a conference, you have a cup of coffee. You don't really want a cup of coffee right there. You walk around, a cup of coffee. You know, that's what people do. So the classical example of Chamar Medina is beer. However, I would suggest that you not use that at the Seder because it's chum, it's gomor. So don't use beer at the Seder, but you could use other beverages that could be qualifying as chamar medina if they absolutely can't have any of these suggestions I have for wine. Okay, that's the wine, grape juice. Spent a lot of time on that, but I think that's the one that comes up very frequently, and it's important that we know what that halacha is. Okay, maror. Talk quickly about maror before we go to matzah. So maror, again, is a mitzvah d'rabbanan nowadays. Nebuch, it's not a mitzvah d'araisa. It used to be a mitzvah d'araisa when we had a Beis HaMikdash in the Korban Pesach. Now it's only d'rabbanan. Yeah.
The Kedem Light grape juice has artificial sweetener.
So artificial sweeteners are, as I said, not ideal, but they're acceptable. So Kedem Light, that's another suggestion, using a lower alcohol, a lower sugar content. It's a third of the sugar, a little bit less. It's like, you know, like 60 calories versus 150, something like that. It's almost a third, a little bit more than a. But that's a perfectly good suggestion. And it's not water that they add. They sweeten it. And I hear different things that it's the grapes that they use that are different, that are sweeter grapes, and it doesn't have the calories. So yeah, the Kedem Light is a perfectly good solution for your diabetics that really have a problem with the small amount. So that's
alcohol have to be in Chamar Medina, or can it be?
No. So again, the Chamar Medina. So there are many different opinions. The Chazon Ish says there's no such thing as Chamar Medina. So that gives you one extreme. The other sides or the looser opinions, the more lenient opinions, there's an opinion I heard in the name many, many years ago of Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal. I heard that he said that he thought soda was Chamar Medina. I never heard him say that directly, but I heard that from my rabbi. So orange juice is one example.
No,
coffee, some suggest tea might be good. Again, the soda question, many say no. Okay. Some might say yes. And the classical examples are beer and liquor. But both those may be problems on Pesach. And to get to the shear of liquor is really a big, big problem. So that's almost like the worst choice that you could possibly have. Yeah.
white wine versus grape juice?
Okay. So white wine would be preferable than grape juice. It does say you should have red wine, but grape juice is a lower level. So on the same level, when you have the equal choice, you have no preference for red and white, so it is brought down, you should have red wine. That's on Shabbos, and that's probably on Pesach too. Why do I say probably on Pesach too? There's a beautiful custom that unfortunately came around because of our tragic history with blood libels. And in some places, the Bedavka had customs, which some people carry over to this day, to use crystal glass kosos with white wine. So when the goyim came in and said, you killed the babies for your blood, said, this is white wine. You know, mm-hmm. And they used bedavka, a clear crystal glass, and the bedavka used white wine. So if that's your family minhag to do so, that's a very kosher and beautiful minhag. But without any such minhag, it is brought down that it's because it uses the lashon yis adam, so it should be red wine ideally. But again, it also is brought down if somebody really likes a white wine, it doesn't like a red wine, you know, then you can use a white wine. But that would take precedence over grape juice if there's no medical reason not to. Okay, so maror. So maror, there are many different types of maror. I think most of the maror questions come about with the horseradish, the chrein, the real stuff, as we used to call it, which is probably not the optimal. It probably really is best to use romaine lettuce. And if you get around the bug question, that is probably, unless you have a strong family custom, and I have a strong family custom. My father always had the pieces of chrein and the ground chrein. So I want to honor my father, Olav HaShalom. His yard site's coming up, so I'll also dedicate the shir Li'ili Nishmaso. I'm giving a shir. I give every year something to say on Pesach. You're all welcome to come to that. That's in my hometown, and at Young Israel of Woodmere. It's on a Wednesday night. If you're interested, be happy to publicize that. And so my father always would have the real chrein. When we were growing up, the romaine lettuce was, well, you know, it was like the lefties did that. But that's the real halacha is really that's the first. They go when the Gemara listed, it listed in order. So romaine lettuce, there are very, very few medical problems that I can think of with romaine lettuce. There are halachic problems with bugs. So if you solve all the halachic problems with the bugs, which is a real halachic issue, I can't think of almost any patient, unless they happen to have an allergy to romaine lettuce, so then that's probably the preferred way. So the people that, you know, they can't, they eat their gut out, if they have the shear of maror, which is not such a big shear, but for some people to eat the charif, the real chrein type of maror, so then absolutely they should use romaine lettuce or use any of the other things. We're not sure what all of the five things that the Gemara mentions are, so it's usually romaine lettuce or chrein. Those are the two things that people use. For somebody, the chrein is a problem, even though, oh, that's my family minhag to use it, so change your family minhag for your health. So if it gives you an ulcer, if it gives you an upset stomach, so then absolutely use the chrein. So I don't want to get in too much time on the chrein because there's really a simple answer. Use the preferred chazeres, which is romaine lettuce. Okay, if somebody, for whatever the reason, can't swallow, so then you have problems because the chrein has to, the maror has to be tasted. You can't swallow it whole, so to say. So I really can't take it. So I just like push in the back of my mouth and swallow it. If it doesn't go through your mouth, so to say, so you're not yotze. With the matzah, yeah, you are yotze. With the wine, you are. There's no chiv to have it taste in your mouth. Whereas the chrein, there is a chiv to have the taste in your mouth. That's what Gemara talks about, a sieve. Gemara knew about various types of tube feedings, right? Gemara knew about nasogastric tubes. They didn't do it the same way we did, but the Gemara talks about tubes. And one of the reasons they say, by the way, Shifra and Pua. So Pua, so everybody says, oh, she went poo-poo to the children. So the Baal HaTurim says, no, she intubated the children. And the word Shifra comes from Shvoferes. So they intubated the children that were having trouble breathing. And that's the earliest mention of intubation that we have, as far as I know, in halachic as well as medical literature. In any event, so you have to, if you were to put it in a tube and have the maror go down a tube, you're not yotze. So again, somebody that really can't eat, so then you have to figure out a way to do it. Okay, matzah. So we have to know what the halachas are of matzah. So the question that comes up is, you know, the matzah, everybody knows the matzah problems over Pesach. So guess what? If you really have matzah problems over Pesach, so while the Vilna Gaon and many others do say every time you eat a kezayis, a matzah Pesach, you get a kiyum of a mitzvah, but it's not a chiyuv. What does that mean? So every time you eat matzah on Pesach, you get a mitzvah. So I tell people also, if there's no medical reason not to, so you should snack all the time you can on matzah. you know, instead of eating something else. Now, people don't like that. They like to snack on cake. They like to snack on other things. But matzah is a mitzvah snack. The cake is, you know, it's cake. It's great, but it's not a mitzvah. So eat as much matzah as you can if there's no medical reasons not to. But for the people that have medical reasons not to, it upsets their stomach. Without getting graphic, we all know the constipating potential of matzah, the upset stomach can give you. A GI guy, see, I'm not going to start telling you all the complications of matzah. But for somebody that can't eat matzah, it upsets their stomach. It's going to make them have tremendous problems. So guess what? You're only mechoyev to eat matzah on the night of the Seder. In Chutz Laretz, we unfortunately have two Sedarim. In Eretz Yisrael, they have one Seder like you're supposed to. So it's just eating a kezayis a couple of times. Now, we are machmir in certain situations to have two kezayisim, and we do it three times. We have the matzah, we have Hillel Korach, and we have the Hapi Kolman. So you can eat five kezayisim of matzah to say it if you want to follow all the rules. So again, somebody doesn't have a problem, so eat the five kezayisim. If you do have a problem, so guess what? You don't have to be machmir each time. So you could use the smaller shiurim. And then within the shiurim, there are different opinions. So use the smaller ones. If you cannot eat the matzah, you'll have to grind up the matzah and add water to it. Again, if you don't eat gebrox, that's a little bit of a problem. But if the choice is not eating matzah or not eating gebrox, so then it'd be better to go and eat gebrox and fulfill the mitzvah matzah. Only do it at the Seder. Don't do it the rest of Pesach, if that's your minhag. But you're not eating matzah, so it's not going to be a problem. So, again, every person should try. Here's a mitzvah to say daraisa. If you can't eat all of them, at least have one kezayis. Instead of the five kezayis, at least have one kezayis and make the brach of alechilas matzah on that one kezayis. I don't think that too many people that really can't eat matzah is going to upset their stomach. Now, there are people that are allergic to wheat and grain products. That's a different story. And you can only be osei matzah with grains from the five grains. A minhag is not to use barley, so you're really left with only four grains, the wheat, rye, oats, and smelt, because we don't use barley. If you can't have wheat, for whatever the reason, so they, Baruch Hashem, they now have smelt and oats. Not 100% clear that those are what we think they are, but that's the accepted custom, so we have smelt and oats or rye. And if those are not going to give the person a problem, so that's perfectly fine to be yotzi l'chatchila. If you really can't have any of those four grains, so then you have to figure out, can you as their doctor say it would be safe to have just a kezayis? The kezayis, you can take the smallest share of a kezayis, which would be probably less than a full square machine matzah. So it would be a little bit less than that, the smallest share of a kezayis. And have just one kezayis, if that's really a very, very difficult medical situation, so just have that. Otherwise, they can't have it, they can't have it. Onus Rachmana Patre. If a person is so allergic, so it's going to have them have bloody diarrhea, it's going to make them go to the hospital, they're going to become so sick, so then they are potter. That's the din. With anything, you're potter in that situation. Again, giving somebody a single kezayis of matzah, I don't think under most medical situations will be such a problem. But you as a doctor have to make that decision for your patient. There's certainly no reason that they have to have five kezayisim and that will get him sick, but one kezayis won't, so then give him one kezayis and not five kezayisim. Egg matzah. So egg matzah is, unfortunately, chametz nuksha, which means that's not really a solution. Egg matzah is basically, you don't use water with the flour, you use what we call meiperos, or eggs, or meiperos, fruit juices. So that is not allowed. The minhag Ashkenaz is that it's not allowed. So despite the fact that it says on the egg matzah box kosher for Passover, it's not. It's a big, big, big mistake. They should never have done that. Many of the poskim have spoken about that. They write in Hebrew on the bottom, you know, the Ramah says don't use this. And they write it in Hebrew. Oh, great. You know, the average consumer who doesn't even know anything about Pesach, the average Jewish consumer, well, I always have a box of matzah on Pesach as they're eating their, you know, with their chametz, but at least they're trying to keep some tradition. So they're not even yotzei, because egg matzah is not considered something that is matzah, except if you're very, very sick. So another eitzah would be for somebody that really can't tolerate, it's usually not a wheat problem, because egg matzahs have wheat, but this is a problem with, it somehow upsets their stomach so much. they can have egg matzah. Only the very ill, right? Very elderly people sometimes, and people with extremely bad dentition. They cannot have it. But again, you can chop up the matzah and use water and have almost like a porridge. So I can't imagine the dentition really being an issue nowadays. But again, these are the parameters in halacha. They're very elderly, they're very ill, or they have horrible dentition and can't chew matzah. So then, egg matzah, somehow that would be acceptable. That's allowed. Okay. That leads us into the medication part of the shiur. I'm going a little bit longer already than I have, so I'm going to run through this because this is all medications. Is all based upon one halachic principle called achshavei. And achshavei is a very important principle. Achshavei means that normally, if something is not roi leachilas kelev, if it's not able to be eaten by a dog would sniff it and walk away, so then it is not considered food anymore. This has numerous applications in terms of tumah, ritual impurity. This has applications in terms of how we define something as being a food. And something that is no longer royal achilas kelev, no longer fit for a dog to eat, so then it doesn't have the status of food. And therefore, if you eat it, it's not eating food. If you chew on a pencil, so it's not called you ate the pencil. Right? There's no problem with eating that. It's not a food. It's not edible. But this principle called achshavei, which is what it sounds like. I thought about it. Achshavei. By my eating it, I have demonstrated that it is a food. So this principle of achshavei is a very, very important principle. Now, this is a din derabbanan. Achshavei is a din derabbanan. It's not a din daraisa, which means that there's a lot of room for kulas. And the first kula that we have is, did the rabbis ever set up the din of achshavei for medication? I would assume everybody in this room agrees that a pill is not food. Right? That's maybe what the astronauts eat, you know, when they have these totally dehydrated things. But a pill is not food, right? You don't classify that as food, especially if it's a bitter pill, especially if it's horrible tasting pill. So that's not food. I am eating it, put it in my mouth, so I'm swallowing it. Have I made it into a food? So many, but not all, poskim say that's not called achshavei. Achshavei is on a food item. While most people wouldn't eat this, you know, it's so burnt that the dog turns its nose at it and runs away, but I love to scrape out the bottom of the chole pot. And I eat that burnt thing that everybody else looks at me, are you crazy? So then that is achshavei, and that would be then considered food for me. But that's a food. And since it's a din derabbanan, there are many poskim that say that the rabbis never set up the din of achshavei by a medication. If you hold like that, and many poskim do, again, time's concern here, I don't want to go much longer, so many of the poskim bring down in that situation that it's not a problem. And therefore, that is a huge kula. Not all posts can hold from that. But
for its medical impact, as opposed to
it's food. Food. We're talking about making it into a food. Right. Medicine is not a food. When you take a pill, forget Shabbos. And by the way, I have to point out, anything that we're saying about Pesach is assuming you're allowed to take it on Pesach. Not from a chametz point of view. There are many medications you're not allowed to take on Shabbos. So those rules, if you're not allowed to take it on Shabbos, usually apply, not 100%, but usually apply, you can't take it on Pesach. So, because it's an isser to take medication on Shabbos or Yontif, unless you're a certain level of sick. So, just to quickly go over that, a mechush bi'alma, somebody has, you know, I don't feel so great, I have a little headache. So you're not allowed to take Tylenol, you're not allowed to take aspirin, you're not allowed to take your non-steroidal. That's halacha l'maaseh. If it's going to, because this din is that you may come to grind it. And grinding is an issa daraisa. So the rabbi set up this din that you can't take any medication, even when it's already made, because you may come to grind. So therefore, this is a very, very important rule, which many people either don't know about or don't want to know about. And that is for mild, absolute, what we call mechush bi'alma. Just, you know, I don't feel so great. So I want to take an aspirin. I want to take a Tylenol. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And therefore you're not allowed to do it on Pesach. same thing that applies. So here we're talking about where it's not a problem to take the medication, which is you're allowed to take a Tylenol, don't leave yet. You're allowed to take a Tylenol if you have a bad headache. If you have a headache that would, oh, I really can't function. If you have pain someplace and it would make you, I can't go to shul, I'm in such pain. I can't function. So then even a chola she'ein bo sakana, it's absolutely not life-threatening. So then you'd be allowed to take that medication. And certainly, and again, I want to stress, Allah has kama v'kama, if it's a life-threatening situation, you could actually grind it up and make the medicine. Never mind just take the medicine that's already in a pill form. So that's the rules in general. So those apply on Pesach as well. Where this really comes into play is for all the stuff that's not really medicine, but people take it. A lot of the, I won't say bogus, but I mean bogus, the stuff that people take, oh, you know, this stuff is great, it works. Well, show me a study that it works. Well, you can't take that on Shabbos, and therefore you can't take it on Pesach. And certainly there's chametz in it. The Rambam.
Vitamins.
Talk about that in a moment. So the Rambam in Yuma, in the Pirush HaMishnayis, is the first mention of a prospective double-blind, doesn't say placebo-controlled study, but he says it has to be, this is his lashon, he didn't say prospective double-blind, but he said it has to be menusa ubeduka. It has to be proven to be effective in order to be allowed to take it on Shabbos. It's the Rambam. We paskin that. So you can't just take anything you want, anytime you want, if it doesn't work. And you have to have a legitimate medical reason to take it. Now, it doesn't have to be an FDA-approved reason to take it. You can off-label prescribe something if you think it's appropriate, and the person is at least the status of a chola she'ein bo sakana. He's a sick person who is not in a life-threatening situation, but he's a sick enough person that you can give him a medicine to. So then you could give him those medicines. So, ach shevei, according to Moshe, doesn't apply in this situation. Moshe Feinstein, that Zal brings down, and he says, "Ach shevei lo shayach bedover shalokeach lerefuah." This principle of I'm making it into a food by my eating it, even though it's not normally edible, doesn't apply to medications. This Rav Moshe, in the Igros Moshe, the address is Igros Moshe, Orech Chaim Chelik Beis, Simen Sadi Beis, is a huge kula, which means that if it's not a tasty medication, not chewable, it's not a flavored medication, it's a solid, it's a pill, you don't really taste anything when you take this. So then Rav Moshe says, even if there's chametz inside of it, you're allowed to take it on Pesach. And that's a huge kula. Many agree with that kula. There are some that don't. Based upon that, Rav Moshe and others, there are great poskim that have come out and said that all these lists with all these medications can be thrown in the garbage. Now, I'm telling you Rav Moshe's opinion. I'm telling you what the OU says, the CRC, and lest you not think that this is only us, it's also Chicago Rabbinical Council. The Chicago Rabbinical Council, they're a major kashrus organization as well. From Chug Chasam Sofer, years ago, Rav Stern. So he said, fear, I'm reading to you from a translation of his name, he didn't write it in English. Fear and reticence have penetrated the hearts of pious Jews. And they carefully investigate medicines they intend to use on Pesach, because the name of their medication appears on a list. And chas v'shalom, they don't want to take a stumbling block, something eating chametz on Pesach. As a result of this corrupt outlook, he says people are putting themselves into pikuach nefashos situations. They're not taking the recommended blood pressure medicine, and then they get a stroke, rachmana litzlan. Oh, it's on the list. They take something that is not as good, or they're now trying a new medication the day before Pesach, the blood pressure is well controlled, and now it's not. They're taking this medication for whatever illness they have that was well controlled, and now it's not. And he says, I feel obligated to publicize those who take medications, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart, kidney, internal organs, may without any fear take these medications regardless of whether they appear on the list or not, to answer your question. Took a while to get there, but I did answer. Now, I want to be 100% fair. Not every posik agrees with that. And there are great posik that say, if you have a choice, that there is a medication on the list and there's the same identical medication that's not on the list. If all things are equal, take the one that's on the list, not on the, as opposed to the one that's not on the list. But you're not mechuyev to laniyastati. And if there's any question about efficacy, then I think it's usur to go take the one that's on the list and not the one that's off the list. And I'll just add, and this will conclude, and take any questions that you may have, and you all can go out and have a little bit of a Batsi Shabbos still left. So this is true for stuff that you can't taste, and I point out it's not chewable. Chewables, which are always flavored, because they want you to take it and not throw it up and spit it out. So chewables, which are flavored, that's real problem with chametz. So if the chewable doesn't have chametz in it, it only has kitnios in it, and there's no alternative, then it's not a problem, because kitnios are not chametz. Ashkenazim have this custom not to have kitnios. It's a custom. We should strictly follow it. But not in the case of a pekuach nefashos or a safi pekuach nefashos, or even I'm not going to feel so good. So you're allowed to. You should try to keep it separate. You shouldn't put it on the Pesach table. That's the custom. But you're allowed to, if it has kitnios, and that's the only medication, and you can taste it, you'd be allowed to. Doesn't give you a head to have kitnios the rest of the time, but just that medication. Liquids and chewables, if they're real chametz, they're a problem. And only would be allowed to be used if it was a real suffik pikuach nefashos. Or that'd be a vaday pikuach nefashos. Even if it's a suffik pikuach nefashos, and there is no alternative, then you could take that chametz, chewable or liquid medication. Liquids are also often flavored. They want you to take them. If the liquid has certain alcohol in it, maybe chametz gomur, depending on the type of alcohol. So it's very, very important in those situations that you look into it and see what alternatives there are, either for yourself or for your patients. And that's when a shaila needs to be asked. Now, sometimes it's much better to do these, purchase these before Pesach, because sometimes before Pesach, there's a concept of bittul. So even a small amount of chametz on Pesach is also, but if it was batul b'shishim before Pesach, that's preferable. So some situations, if you have to take this medicine, it may be preferable to go and purchase it before Pesach rather than refill your subscription. You know, that's when the 30 days ended and they won't give you insurance. So then pay out of your pocket not to have chometz if you could do something like that. But those, again, those types of situations, you should ask a Rav exactly what you should do. It's a pikuach nefashos question, so then zero questions to ask. But even then, if there's a possibility of doing it in some way that's less objectionable in halacha, so then try to do it in the less objectionable way. But for your typical pill that you're taking, your blood pressure or whatever it is, unless it's tasty when you put it in your mouth, so then most of the time, most of the posts can say, it's not a problem. You don't have to check the list. I'll conclude with one of the local rabbis in the neighborhood asked this question to Rabbi Yashiv. How come we publicize the list? Because Rabbi Yashiv held that you don't have to publicize the list. Rabbi Yashiv was also like Rabbi Moshe, holding that Achshavei doesn't apply to medications. And he said, the reason why I don't tell them to discard all the lists is because there are poskim that hold from them. So I can't tell them that they're wrong. But you don't have to follow the lists. And that's the kula, the halacha l'maisa that I would suggest. I thank you all for very, very much for listening. I thank Dr. Huberfeld for inviting me. And this is a beautiful way to spend the Motzei Shabbos. If there are any questions, I'll take them now. Yeah.
What about vitamins?
So vitamins. So yeah, you did ask about vitamins. So I will tell you my medical opinion, and then you can decide what you want to do. Nobody's going to die, unless it's that rare case, by not taking a vitamin for 8 days. So if they're chewable vitamins and there's chametz inside of them, I think it's iser gomer to take it. If somebody has a critical vitamin deficiency that you've established, and you think that they're not taking that vitamin is going to impair them in some way, so then there would be a heter to take it even if it was pure chametz. But if it's a non-chewable vitamin, and they're swallowing it, so then the same rules of achshavei would apply. But I would be a little bit more careful with a vitamin. And that's because medically, I don't think it's essential that they take it. So There are poskim that discuss about taking vitamins on Shabbos and Yontif. If you're taking vitamin every day, it's almost like it's food, and it's not considered a medication. So there's a heter to take a vitamin that you take every day on Shabbos and Yontif as well. But again, I tell people if there's a question about it, that's the time to be machmer. Almost everything else I told you, you could be mako. But if the medication that you're giving isn't essential and needed, you know, to tell somebody that they should take a medication that you're, you know, really has very little proof that it works, and you're taking this every day, and if you miss one day, you tell them, don't worry about it.
Vitamin D, enhancing,
well,
maybe.
So, again, I don't want to get into specifics, and I don't want to start debating here for 3 hours the value of any of these. You as a doctor have the right to decide, different than I as a doctor have the right to decide, and we can agree to disagree on certain medications. If you, in your expert opinion, feel that this medication is essential, then they have a head to take it. If you, in your expert opinion, don't think they have any need to take it, then if there's any questions in it, then I would suggest not taking it for Pesach. Yes?
A nazir for the four
kosos. A nazir for the four kosos. So the Gemara actually talks about that and says that the... So there are other wines that they could take, but that's what the Gemara discusses, a mitzvah. They don't use Kiddush and Havdalah for the Nazir, but they use if the Nazir made a neder that he will not drink, that he will drink wine. So then he has to break his neder. So he doesn't have the mitzvah, so a Nazir would not be allowed. But since I doubt that any of you are dealing with Nazirim, but a Nazir would not be allowed to drink wine. He can't have wine for Kiddush and Havdalah. One could certainly be shoal on his Naziris. A smart person would say, why are you giving up this wonderful mitzvah derabbanan to do something that, according to some poskim, is a sin to take upon yourself a Naziris, with many exceptions. So therefore, I would suggest that person should be shoal on his nether. But that's a different discussion. Yes?
Is there any issue, if we have a patient who's coming back from Shana Beth just for a couple of weeks, he scheduled himself for a food challenge for sesame seed on April 11th.
Which that's middle of Pesach.
Yes, I'm working home. Right. So I said to Mala I was going to ask a question about because they eat kidney oats.
Yeah. So if you're a Sfaradi, if you're a Sfaradi and they eat kidney oats, absolutely no problem.
Okay.
Some of the baby formulas have kidney oats, and Ashkenazi's allowed to give his kid those kidney oats formulas. Again, I said you should try to keep them off the table. You should try to keep a separate cutlery or cups or whatever for the kids that have to have kidney oats. But kidney oats are not an issur of chametz.
Like whatever's in the office.
You don't sell kidney oats.
Okay.
Your person doesn't sell their kidney oats. They're selling their chametz. There's no reason to sell kidney oats. There's no isser in owning kidney oats on Pesach. The custom is that Ashkenazim don't eat kidney oats. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with using kidney oats. You know, if you wanted to do a allergy testing on somebody that it's not a problem for them to take kidney oats, they're Sfaradi. No problem. I don't think. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful evening, everybody. Oh, one more question. I'm sorry. I didn't see. You're keeping everybody here.
who does the obligation rest with? In other words, am I as the doctor required to investigate every medicine that I prescribe a week before Pesach and say, you know, this medicine, it may have chametz in it, or do I just say, here's this pill, your problem?
So I think in most situations you can rely upon Achshave. If you happen to know, I mean, there's certain medicines that would be...
Nurtec is a dissolvable migraine medicine that has gelatin in it.
Right. So,
and I know this because the competitor is now coming around telling all the doctors not to prescribe it to their Muslims and Jewish patients.
So gelatin, there's a whole separate discussion about gelatin in halacha. So there are coolers in gelatin that we don't normally take to have marshmallows, for example, that we wouldn't allow them to have marshmallows that might be acceptable when it comes to Nurtec or other types of dissolvable medications. So I think that if the patient is going to have severe migraines, Nurtec is taken both prophylactically and for treatment. I know a little bit of neurology. So Nurtec is something that if somebody has to take it prophylactically, I think would fall into the category of that's really something that is significantly going to impair the person. And I think something like that would be allowed if it's just gelatin. It's not chametz.
Right.
Right? So gelatin and chametz are two different things. So the question would be, can you take Neurotech all year round.
Right, exactly.
And since we do allow people to take Neurotech all year round, so I don't think it's a problem on Pesach. Again, for somebody that's machmir not to go take any gelatin products, so then that's a different story. But again, this is not to be misunderstood for the gelatin, the kosher gelatin that used to go when we were kids, which was not kosher gelatin today. So that is a problem when you have it for marshmallows.
I guess the question is just whose obligation?
So I think the obligation is if you know you're prescribing a medication on a regular basis that has a halachic shaila to it, you should make it known to your patients and say, you know, let's cod liver oil. Let's go back 50 years. Mm-hmm. Right? You have to take cod liver oil. So that could be possibly problems with it. If you have to take a medication that is pure trefa or pure chametz, so then, if you prescribe something like that on a regular basis, so then you need to go and tell the patient, ask your rabbi. It's not your job, unless you're a rabbi. So it's not your job to paskin for them, unless you said, my rabbanim, and then you say, you are welcome to follow my rabbi's opinion, said you can or cannot take it. So I think it's a achrayis on both. If you know it's a problem, there could be potentially, if it's really awesome for them to take it, you prescribe it, then I think you're overlifting either. But since most of the time it's not really osur, it's a question of how much they want to be machmir, I would point out the issue and say, please discuss this with your rav. And your rav should paskin the shaila.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all very much.